Alright, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the J-Pod Bonecast. Today's episode 3 from season 3. I'm going to title this Slice It However You'd Like It, featuring our buddy TJ. TJ is a returning guest from our season 1. You might remember him and his brother came on for the Chappelle episode. And we also had him in our 31 Days of American Horror Story. What's going on, TJ? Anything new since then?
Oh, not much. How's everybody doing?
Yeah, pretty well. That was October, man. So now you're a selfie boy here.
Yeah.
Boys of the summer this year. Selfie, yeah.
Selfie's the place to be this summer, I guess.
Hell yeah, dude. Yo, I can't wait to come down there and party. Yeah. I definitely got to get my ass down.
Absolutely.
There. And, you know, you're still doing the barber thing and everything like that.
Yep.
You actually just gave me a fresh cut. Speak of the devil.
Yes, sir.
But, you got any cool barber stories for us?
I don't know about cool. Always an interesting haircut coming in.
I mean,
I don't know how cool this is. I had to cut a woman's hair recently, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, except.
I get really nervous because I just was afraid it wasn't what she wanted. So, yeah, she had longer hair, and I wanted to cut back shorter. I don't know. It just came out terrible.
Did it? Oh,
not a cool story, but yeah.
Was she? Did she say anything after that?
No, she was cool nice about it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's wicked
cool. It looked fine, but it definitely wasn't what she wanted.
Yeah, no, I've totally been there. I myself, like, I really don't care about haircuts, to be honest with you. Like, I could get whatever.
Yeah.
Like, as long as it's, like, shorter than what it was, that's fine with me. But I totally, I've seen, like, I've been in, you know, the salon and whatnot with my mother, and, like, I know when she gets a bad haircut, she's always pissed off.
Yeah. No, she was, I mean, I think she knew what she was getting into, you know, coming into a barbershop.
Yeah, exactly.
Like I said, it looked okay. It's just not as short as she wanted, and she was cool about it.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
And, yeah, returning from the 31 Days of American Horror Story, so, yeah, I had actually, in my season 3 premiere, that premiered 2 episodes ago, I had announced that we're doing a 31 Days of Dexter this year for October, and Dexter is coming back, so I feel like it's mad appropriate, you know? But, you know, in terms of American Horror Story, there is a lot of things getting dropped right now. They're all talking about the new season double feature. Have you heard anything about that?
Only, you know, what's come out in snippets here and there. Obviously, I heard that there's 2 storylines going on. They might be merging. Who knows?
Yeah. Some Macaulay Culkin action.
Yeah.
Some crazy cast this year.
I know.
So excited because, I mean, we took a year off from American Horror Story, so
yep.
It's really going to be, like, fun to see where things go from.
Yeah.
And the last episode of the podcast, we had Brad come on. He talked about Resident Evil, which we're going to get to today. But I did ask him off the pod about American Horror Story, and he simply does not know if Ryan Murphy is still all there in terms of American Horror Story. He was not at all infatuated with the last season or anything like that, and he just really doesn't know what the future holds for American Horror Story. Are you one of those people that are in the same boat?
I don't know. I liked the last one. What was the name? 84?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that was cool.
Yeah,
I liked how
Mr. Jingles.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it, too. I don't know why he was...
It was definitely silly. It was definitely silly, and, you know, they try to up the campiness. I feel like every year it gets worse with that, but I still enjoy them a whole lot.
Yeah, my thing is, like, it's right up Ryan Murphy's alley.
Yeah.
He likes to do that silly type of stuff. Horror.
Exactly.
Yeah, a great 80s vibe to it, too. But yeah, I mean, it did get a little silly when they started doing the Richard Ramirez stuff and all that stuff.
Right, exactly. That was goofy as hell.
Yeah.
But the Mr. What was his name? Jingles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah,
everything
Sean
that
Lynch
ended up happening.
John Carroll Lynch.
Yeah, everything that happened with his character, I liked that a lot.
Oh yeah, I loved his whole entire thing.
Last season wasn't so bad.
Yeah, no, I didn't think it was that bad. One of the things that concerns me about this season is I'm afraid that they're gonna try and, you know, again, try and fit it into the narrative that these all somehow connect to each other, the storyline.
Yep.
And I've seen things like people are seeing Tate on, you know, on set and stuff like that. And I'm like, yo, you know, you can't say that's for American Horror Story double feature because it could be for American Horror Story stories.
That's true, too.
Out.
Yes.
Yeah, and that would make more sense because they're probably going back to, you know, a Murder House story instead of, like, you know, just trying to fit Murder House into this double feature.
Right.
But, I mean, honestly, it would not surprise me at all if Ryan Murphy did do that.
So they're saying they saw Evan Peters as Tate.
Yeah, as Tate, dude. I know. And apparently it was American Horror Story double feature. I don't know. I looked this up and everything.
Stories will be cool.
Yeah, I think
stories
will
be very
cool,
cool
as well. Hour episodes of one thing. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That'll definitely be dope. And I heard the first 2 episodes actually got, the name got leaked. It was, you know how we have the Rubber Man?
Yeah.
Now it's Rubber Woman Part 1 and 2. Those are the first 2
really?
Episodes of stories.
Oh, crap.
Yeah, so that's great. So that's obviously a 2-parter right there. But yeah, like I said in the beginning of our season premiere. Hopefully we can get AHS Zone back on from Twitter, and they can give us all the lowdown. We also have Poses going on right now. That's in its final season. Yep. So always love to know what's going on in the head of Ryan Murphy and how his fans are doing. All right, so let's get into today's topic, which is going to be Resident Evil Village.
Yeah.
Now, first of all, what system are you playing this on?
Xbox One.
All right, so we got the Xbox One over here. I myself, I played it on the PS5. Haven't played on anything else, but it's run fine for me. Any problems?
No, it ran fine for me, too.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything online too much about not being able to run or glitches.
Yeah.
That's usually something that happens very early in Resident Evil. I know Resident Evil 5 had, like, one of the worst glitches of all, especially if you did the two-player. For some reason, if you were Shiva,
You
couldn't, like, cut or something like that. And I think Chris had to cut something that would fall on Wesker. I forget how the last boss battle happened. But I remember me and Jimbo were stuck on it for... You know, actually, I went to GameStop and returned my controller thinking that something was wrong with my controller. Yeah, and there was nothing wrong with my controller. I was like, dude, do I feel like a clown? All right, so we have this new game, Resident Evil Village. This is the 8th installment in the series, and this is actually, according to the storyline, this isn't like a new story or anything like that, or a subplot, and not a spinoff, definitely, like some of those other Resident Evil games. We had Dead Aim, we had Outbreak, Outbreak 2, all those types of games, great Resident Evil games. But now, what I want to know is this the only Resident Evil game you played?
No, I started playing Resident Evil, the series, like with 4.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved Resident Evil 4.
Oh, yeah.
I'd never really played anything like Resident Evil until 4.
4, yeah.
And it was awesome.
Yeah, 4 was like the godfather. Like, I love 4.
Yep.
It's still to this day is my favorite. Village actually came in a close second.
Yeah.
But
I would say the same.
When 7 came out, which was the one before this, and actually it's a direct sequel to this game, 7 featured this guy named Ethan. And Ethan Winters, to me, I thought he was a great antagonist and everything like that. Awesome character. We had a new, new person for the longest time. This whole time we were playing around with, like, Leon and Chris and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I had no clue where the story was going to go. And I didn't even know, that it was part of the whole Resident Evil thing at first. You know, I thought this was going to be a spinoff.
Right.
Like, a whole entirely different thing. Because at first they just named it Biohazard, and then they went to Resident Evil Biohazard. Mm-hmm. And then we ended up finding out this is really Resident Evil 7.
Yeah.
And then 8 was going to come, and then we have 9 next, which is supposedly going to be a trilogy. Which, I mean... unbelievable story so far. And Resident Evil 7, you said you played it, correct?
I did.
How'd you like that game?
I liked it a lot. It was obviously like their first person attempt, and I thought it was great. It was spooky as hell.
Yeah.
And I loved it. I loved everything about it.
Yeah, it's awesome that you mentioned the first person aspect, because that's how they first started the games. They were always first person.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, the first one was first person.
Huh.
And, yeah, that was the scariest. You know, you're right there with the action. And then they started steering away from that, and then we end up getting third person. And then, by 6, we end up just, like, having a horror. An action game.
Right.
It didn't even feel like horror whatsoever.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was awesome about 7, because then we brought it back to the feel, Like, this is the new mansion.
I never played 6.
Yeah.
So 6 is more of, like, an action.
Definitely, yeah.
Okay.
But actually, our last guest, Brad, I lied to him. I didn't even know I was lying to him, because I did some research online after, but I told him 6 was the easiest to play, because not only was it easy, but it was a short game. Turns out that's actually the longest Resident Evil game in the history of Resident Evil.
No
it takes
way.
21 hours to beat that game.
What?
Yeah, I could not believe that, dude. I couldn't believe that at all. And apparently this game only takes 8-point-something hours, which I know I definitely beat it under an 8.
Oh, dude.
But, I mean, I couldn't believe the 6, honestly. I still don't believe that in my head, because I do remember grinding on 6 and being like, dude, when is this going to end, Because it's like, it's the weirdest thing. You'll play, like, it's not like you just keep going and you have a map and all that. It's literally like, this is stage 1, and then when you're done with stage 1, you collect your tokens or whatever and then go to stage 2.
Oh,
it's
no
like
way.
The weirdest thing. Yeah, yeah. It sucks. But, yeah, they really, they lost me on that Resident Evil. I was pissed, because I remember I went to the Midnight and everything. I enjoyed 5 a lot.
Yeah.
Which, at the time I was kind of bummed out, because I knew nothing like 4 would ever come back once I seen 5.
Right.
And I was like, all right, well, maybe we'll get, something good with 6. And
yep.
6 didn't do it for us. But we got 8, and we got 7.
Yeah.
7 was very well made. We had this dude, Ethan, as I was talking about. And Ethan is around for Resident Evil 8, which is insanely surprisingly, because you'd think the guy would be dead by now. But a little plot twist, and actually, spoiler alert, he is dead. So, by the time you guys are hearing this podcast, we'll be way into a couple months when Resident Evil's been out. So you guys should all be able to play this game, the 7th and 8th. So, I mean, that's not any too much of a spoiler. Right. But, yeah, we had this stuff called the growth or whatever.
Mold.
Yeah, the mold. Yeah. Mold, yeah. Yeah, the mold was like, you know, that's what like got Evelyn started and everything like right. that. And that's that whole story was just insane. Yeah, that was the craziest thing.
It is. It's insane.
It's unbelievable when they go back in 8 and they show you, you know, Jack Baker.
He actually, he killed you.
And you're like, yeah, what?
Yeah,
it's like,
that
dude,
is...
my wife cutting off my hand didn't kill me, or sawing it off with a chainsaw. Oh, I know. Like, there's so many. Yeah. That's another thing we're gonna talk about is Ethan's hands. Those dude's hands are insane.
They get mangled,
dude. Always mangled. All right, so before we get into this breakdown of the actual game of Resident Evil 8 Village, first off, I already asked you if you played the games before. You said yes.
Mm-hmm.
The other question was, have you seen any of the movies?
Oh, no.
Yeah, so the thing about me is I've always wanted to commit to watching the whole entire Resident Evil, you know, movie. I don't know how many movies
there are, but
series or whatever, and I could never do it because I know they're going to be so crappy, and I know it would just piss me off if I tried.
That's why I never did it either.
You know? Yeah, and I know they really don't have too much backstory with the actual stories.
Yeah, right? I don't even think they get into, like, any of the T-Virus or anything
that. Yeah, they definitely don't. They don't even have a Leon, which is like, dude, if you don't, I don't know if they have Chris Redfield in there.
Right.
I'm all set once you tell me Leon's not there. All right, so what would you say your favorite Resident Evil is? Probably 4?
Yeah, I would definitely say 4. I hope they remaster it soon.
Oh, my
but,
God.
But like you said, imagine? Yeah, that would be insane. Oh. Because they did that with 2 and 3.
Yeah.
2 was awesome.
Yeah.
3 was all right. But
that's actually cool you talked about that, because one of the things I want to talk about was the lack of video games this year.
Yeah.
We are in the year of, you know, this is 2020 to 2021.
Right.
And 2020, all I can remember was, you know, the two most excited games I was for was Animal Crossing, which was a Switch. And then we had the Resident Evil 3, remake.
Yeah, that's Nemesis, right?
Yeah. Which I was lucky enough to go onto eBay and find a hot copy of the game. And I got it like 10 days early.
Okay.
So I had beaten that game before anybody even played it. And I'm still to this day wondering, like, that had to be a hot copy. Like, where'd that dude get that copy?
Right,
of the game?
Right.
Awesome truck, definitely. But yeah, that, I mean, I thought it was alright for what they were giving me at the time. Because, you know, I wasn't too amped up for what was coming, you know. I just knew, like, a new Resident Evil was coming.
Right.
And I figured, yeah, it's probably going to be wicked crazy.
And, yep.
Sure enough, these remakes, though, they've been getting me through it. 2, I really enjoyed a lot.
2 was awesome.
Yeah, 2 really was.
Yep.
So, now getting into Resident Evil 8. Like I said, this is a sequel to 7. So we return with Ethan Winters. And we have all these crazy characters. First of all, we have like a family, almost like the Baker family in a sense. But, you know, we have Heisenberg. We have, who else? Monroe. We got the two, the doll and then...
Beneviento is the doll. And then...
Was it Donna or something like that?
Yeah, Donna Beneviento.
Yeah. Yeah, the sisters. And then Lady, was it
Demetresque?
Yeah,
that's how I'm gonna say it.
Yeah,
it's been said. I don't know how to say it.
Yeah, go to our Twitter right now at JPod Bonecast and let us know officially how to say it, or make your own little dictionary. You know, way to say that and all that, because that's a tough one right there.
It
but
is.
I mean, she's the one that gets the most attention, obviously.
Yep.
And I'm not even sure exactly what it is. Like, is it a bunch of like weird hornball dudes that like anime?
No, that's exactly
titties?
What it is. All right.
Like, I was gonna say, like, yeah, what is the deal with this
who
lady?
Doesn't like a big tall woman who could you know?
Yeah. Slap them around. And, I mean, dude, the scariest part about that is like when she's chasing you through the hall and you're trying to get those masks, you're just like, yo man, I don't know if the Hall of Sorrow, like, I don't know if this mask should be going here or not, you know, and this lady's right behind me.
Yeah, running around her castle was crazy.
Oh, dude,
it was her and her daughters.
Yep.
Every time you saw the bugs coming,
Oh, dude, you knew when the flies started coming, or you hear the noises, you're like, what the hell?
Those flies are creeping me out.
Yeah.
Actually, one time, a fly flies out of Ethan's hand at one point.
Hand.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right.
It's gross.
Right. Yeah, and that's one of the biggest things we're going to talk about right now is Ethan's hands. That dude, since Resident Evil 7, he's been getting his hands chomped and screwed, man.
Yep.
Literally, you know, his wife, Mia, she's, like, possessed by this whole mole thing. And I'm not even sure if this is actually, like, in his head at the time or what, but in the first one, he gets his hand cut off immediately.
That's before he technically gets killed.
Yeah, exactly. So he gets it cut off with a chainsaw, and I remember he just picks it up, grabs the bottle, sterilizes it, and then staple guns it or something like that?
Yeah, somebody staples it back on.
It's one
of the daughters of the Baker family. Yeah.
Some weird stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, some like, so you're like, yo, dude, like, what is up
with
this? You know, like, how does this, but One of the great things about Resident Evil was they have an awesome inventory and map control
situation. I love the inventory situation.
Yeah, the inventory, for someone who plays Call of Duties, probably is not going to enjoy that, because it's almost like you need to, like, pause the game, you know, and go through your little inventory. Yep. At times it can get very filling if you have too many weapons and everything like that, and too much ammo, or even if you have too much meat in this game, because you can cook.
Right.
And one of the people I definitely want to talk about when it comes to cooking is the Duke.
The Duke.
Dude, what did you think about the Duke?
I love the Duke, because the Duke was a lot like the merchant in Resident Evil 4, so that's totally why people like the Duke. Right. And, I mean, that was the best part of this game, I think, was being able to go and buy, like, stuff. And they didn't make it so easy where, like, you could go... And he would have, like, new stuff all the time. Like, if you were still in the same level, and you had just bought, like, all the ammo you could from the Duke, he sold out of ammo.
Oh, yeah.
So that was kind of, like, a cool little, like, tough thing they added to the game, you know? Yeah. You couldn't just go and buy whatever you wanted, even though there was a merchant there all the time.
Too real. Yeah, the Duke, you know, very prominent role as well, because, like, this whole time that you're dealing with this guy, you're like, dude, why is he helping us, you know?
Yeah, right.
What is his connection to Ethan? And you soon find out at the end, you know, he's pretty much just, you know, helping us out find our daughter in jars, which is crazy. Our daughter is literally in jars, and you have to pick up 4 flasks that have each piece of her. And, you know, then you put it in this little sanctuary, I guess you'd call it, or whatever. And, you know, she's back, which is insane.
Right.
It's like the craziest thing. You know, it sounds so stupid while you're listening to this, but... Literally, it's one of the best games I think I've ever played.
It is a lot of fun.
You know, especially in terms of horror, there's not a lot of things you can do with horror games, and this does it very well, you know? We have the whole entire werewolf type thing. You know, usually Resident Evil, we're very used to zombies and stuff like that. There are some, like, dead zombies or whatever you call them in here, and there's actually a little throwback to Resident Evil 5. We get the BSAA back in the situation where Chris Redfield starts to, you know, invade the place. They also invade the place. So it's crazy. And the way we see these trailers, a lot of the people thought that Chris Redfield was actually going to be, you know, cursed, and he's, like, turning into a werewolf, because they saw the split image of
him. Right, it made it seem like he was the bad guy.
Exactly. Yeah, it totally seemed like that from the very beginning, because the minute you open up the scene, like, he shoots me. Like, you're just like, dude, you just killed my wife.
Right.
There's even a part where, you know, Ethan stumbles onto Chris, and Chris says, like, oh, wow, thank God, you know, it's a surprise that you're still alive, and... He says, like, you bastard, you killed Mia. And that's when Chris reveals that, listen, that wasn't actually the real Mia.
Yep.
Like, we have another situation going on.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to find out that we actually have another situation going on, because technically we die at the hands of Mother Miranda, who Mother Miranda is, she's pulling all the strings. These 4 puppets of hers, you know, that we're going around and beating and all that, her family, I guess you call them. Yep. Mother Miranda is the big cheese. And when we go to see Mother Miranda, you're like, all right, nice, we're going to put this to rest, you know, we're going to get our child back and everything. But that's not how it goes at all. She literally kills us, like, 2 seconds. It's the probably the fastest kill of the game, you know? And right then, you're like, oh, man, Ethan's dead, you know? What are we going to do now? And here comes Chris Redfield, amazing Chris Redfield from Resident Evil 1. Thank God we can finally play him. Because Resident Evil 7, I'll tell you, when they gave us Chris Redfield, I felt so shook. It was during some DLC, and it wasn't even worth it.
Yeah, you don't get to play with Chris until the DLC.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it really, like, you know, maybe you get, like, 1 IED or something like that with the weapons, but I wasn't too, you know, much into it. I remember, like, I forget who the last boss was, but I think, like, the whole entire house turned into some crazy mold thing or something.
Yep.
It was, like, some giant thing, and I remember you had to, like, use a rocket, which another part of this I did not enjoy was there was no rocket launcher in Resident Evil 8.
That's a little weird.
They had the grenade launcher, though. They usually have the, you know, the flamethrower and the rocket launcher, both of which I did not see in this.
No, just the grenade launcher.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, the grenade launcher was tight. Yeah, that's right. Yo, what about puzzles? Did you think this was more puzzly than Resident Evil 7?
I would say that they were pretty much the same.
Yeah, in terms of puzzles, they definitely
up. Maybe this one had a little bit more.
Yeah. Resident Evil 6, I believe, had no puzzles. Yep. And if they did, maybe they had, like, 1 or 2. But it was nothing going crazy for. And Resident Evil 5 was, like, that was when puzzles started becoming action, you know? It was unbelievable. We have a guy by the name of Heisenberg. If you could, you know, describe Heisenberg as a supervillain, who would you say he is?
Oh, Magneto.
Definitely Magneto. That is the coolest thing, like... Yeah, I thought, like, at first I was like, oh, man, this is so cheesy. Like, they're copying this dude's look from Heisenberg, Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
And they're giving him Magneto powers.
They gave
him
Magneto powers.
But he's just so mysterious, you gotta love him, you know?
Yeah, he was a cool bad guy.
Yeah, he was pretty cool.
They were all cool bad guys.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they did a real good job, yep. you know, creating this really screwed up looking family. Yo, right. And every time you see these people, you gotta wonder, like, all right, this is their one form, but where's their mutated form, you know? What are they gonna look like after?
Yeah.
Which I thought was wicked cool. One of the things I loved about Heisenberg's level was he had all those, you know, guys in the robotics and everything.
Right,
like that.
Right.
Those people,
oh, that was crazy.
Dude.
Those big guys.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, with the things on their chest you had to shoot.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was nuts.
Yeah, they would just bust out of walls and shit. Like,
chainsaw arms.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
So, I know while I was getting my hair cut, we talked about this a little, but just to mention it for the pod, one of the things I have down here is, what did you think the scariest monster was in this game?
I would say, Beneviento, or her doll, Angie, I guess.
Oh, yeah, the doll, yeah,
the
yeah.
The doll was, and that was a whole, like, messed up.
Yeah, the doll was crazy, I remember
level.
That. You had to find the doll and, like, stab
right.
it and things like that.
And then that's the level that also had, like, the baby that
yeah,
comes
that
chasing
baby,
after
yeah.
you, this
yeah,
big
the baby
fetus or whatever.
And
so gross.
Dude, I could never play this game without having sound to it, you know? And I know there's some people that don't even like to play video games with sounds. But
yeah, no, that's
you
crazy.
Need to...
You need to.
Yeah, exactly.
You won't hear the stuff that's coming at
yep.
you.
Yeah, you won't hear the werewolf sounds or anything like that. Like, all this
yep.
stuff.
Yep.
It's unbelievable. What did what'd you think about the ending of the game?
I thought it was okay.
Yeah, story-wise, yeah.
Oh, like, story-wise, I loved.
Yeah.
The Mother Miranda boss battle, I thought, could have been a little bit harder.
Oh, yeah, I know.
You know?
That did seem like a cakewalk. After
yeah.
everything you did.
After everything,
like, right.
hers was the easiest.
Yep, yep.
But, the story was really cool.
Yeah.
You know what I saw an article about, actually? Somebody, like, you know how there's a picture mode in this?
Yeah.
Somebody did a picture mode of the very end when the car's driving away with the, Ethan's daughter, Rose.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a person that comes up to the car seemingly, and if you take a picture of it, they use the Ethan model. Like,
really?
Its hand is Ethan's hand.
No.
So
way.
I don't know if that means that it's actually Ethan.
What?
Yeah, but somebody took a picture and zoomed in on the model, and the hand is the bandaged hand.
Wow.
Yeah. So yeah. Either they reuse the model, or that's supposed to be, like, you know, a little teaser, a little Easter egg.
Damn. Yeah. So one of the biggest questions we obviously have for Resident Evil 9, if this is a trilogy, in fact, is. Will Ethan return?
Right.
Ethan technically sacrificed himself. We found out that he was infected with the mold,
mm-hmm.
and that's why he didn't die. He was pretty much superhuman this whole
right.
time. But apparently he did die once Jack Baker knocked him out that first time.
Yep.
And, like, this is literally the first
Then he
scene.
Became the mold.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And this would also explain why this dude's, like, losing limbs, and it's so easy for him to, you know, get back on his feet.
Yeah, that was the most ridiculous thing is when... Demetrescu cuts
oh,
his hand
I,
off.
Yeah, I know. Cuts
he
his
just
hand.
Uses the alcohol and puts
yep.
it back on like new.
Yeah, yeah. Dude, there's so many Ethan hand situations. we have the one part where he gets knocked out, he wakes up, and both of his hands are in meat hooks. It's
oh,
like,
yeah.
And he needs to literally rip... He doesn't even take one hand down and then just fall. He rips them both down. And then you just see him throw some alcohol on there again.
That was after he got his fingers bitten off.
Yeah, by a werewolf. That's exactly what I was just going to say. Yeah, literally... Then you see the guy get his hair torn off, hand torn off by, like, part of a werewolf. And you're just sitting there with, like, bandage and some fingers left over, and you're literally just dousing alcohol on it. This dude has the craziest hands in all of Resident Evil history, honestly.
Yep.
But, yeah, that's unbelievable. In terms of Resident Evil 9, what would you rather see? More horror or more, more familiar faces, I guess I would say.
I would love for it to be scarier.
Yeah.
I mean, I can only imagine that Chris is going to be a part of it again, and
oh, yeah,
and Rose,
definitely.
And we'll see maybe Ethan.
Yeah,
but yeah.
I'm really scared because one of the things that I'm very nervous about was, you know, Resident Evil has had a very great couple years on highs, and I'm so afraid that this Resident Evil 9 is going to be like the low.
Yeah, right, because they did so well with the last two.
Exactly,
yeah.
And not only that, but it's bringing back so many memories, like... We had 4 come out, and I was, like, too young. I mean, maybe, like, 2002, I think 4 came out. So I was, like, when I started playing 2, I mean, when I started playing 4, it had to be, it was actually, I didn't get into Resident Evil until I got a Wii. And I got Resident Evil 4 on Wii, and that was the first Resident Evil game I played. It was 1 on Wii.
No
which
way.
Which is probably a sin to people who play Resident Evil. I know. I tried to play ones on PlayStation, but I just wasn't that, like, you know, young. I was too young to know, like, exactly what to do and all the puzzles and things like that.
Right.
But, yeah, so once I played 4, I was like, oh my god, this game's amazing. And then I didn't know that these games were still coming out because they were so old. I had known that this is a remaster. We got 5 maybe 2 years later,
mm-hmm.
and I thought 5 was amazing, too. I'm like, oh man, this is awesome, you know. I just kept bringing all of the bad reviews and negative comments I had about it, and I put it in the back of my head and
yep.
say, okay, it's because we're in a new genre, you know, we're in a new new world, you know, like,
yeah, this exactly
is like, this is the next generation of gaming, so it's not gonna be exactly what I love, you know, it's gonna be some new stuff. And then when we got 6, man, let me tell you, 5 had the craziest ending. You finally meet Albert Wesker, who has been the bad guy pretty much since 1.
Right.
And you end up defeating him with Claire Redfield. And this is, I mean, not Claire Redfield, I'm sorry. It's you and Sheeva.
You're Chris Redfield.
But in 6, what they did was they tried to make a conjoined story. So everybody missed Leon from 4, and everybody missed Chris from, you know, 1 to 5. So
what they wanted Ada Wong in it too.
Yeah. They wanted Ada Wong, exactly. That's why they threw Leon in there. So what they did for 6 was they made an action game and they brought everybody's story together, which was trash, dude.
Horrible.
It was, the worst thing about it was, you know, they tried to make the villains actually cool, and you know, the zombies that came out of it were all right. There's one zombie in particular I'm thinking about. It was like, yeah, almost like a big veiny prick, and literally this guy just. He had, instead of hands, there were chainsaws. So it brought back the classic chainsaw feel. Because I hated the people in chainsaws. I forget, honestly, if there were people with chainsaws in 7. But there were no signs of anyone with chainsaws.
Well, yeah, that first boss battle with Jack, he has the chainsaw.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, that was, yep. Yeah, you're right, he does. Yeah, in the car, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally forgot about that. I'm thinking more of the masked dudes with the chainsaws. Mm-hmm. You've seen a lot of those guys.
The dudes in 4.
Yeah, 4 had the creepiest monsters I think I've ever seen.
Yep.
They had, like, those Wolverine guys, too.
Yep.
Yeah, that was unbelievable.
It was.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that's exactly Resident Evil 8 in a nutshell, and we're obviously excited for 9. It was cool because we just had Brad on the podcast previously to this, so he has not finished. He's actually going back right now and playing 7.
Yep.
But he did not finish 8. But we both have finished 8. And that's why I felt like it was definitely appropriate to make a podcast so we could tell you our thoughts on it. And, you know, get our thoughts on what we thought would be good for Resident Evil 9. Now we're coming towards the end of the pod. And before I give out the digital download code for Barbershop The Next Cut.
Nice.
I do that exclusively for my guest today. Yep. Yeah, we got some Barbershop. Is there anything you'd like to plug or anything you'd like to say before we end off the podcast, TJ?
I guess just as always, you know, Walter's Barbershop and Onset, TL Cuts and Braintree. Those are the two shops I work at.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Follow me at TJ Petro on Instagram and Twitter. That's it.
Yeah, perfect. And please, like I said, go to our Twitter as well and give us a follow, JPodBonecast. If you guys go to our Apple right now, follow, rate, subscribe. I appreciate it so much. Before we get out of here, though, we definitely got to give you away this code for Barbershop The Next Cut. All you got to do is go to wb.com/redeem and type in this code, BTMQG674YTJG. All right, guys, thank you so much, and we will see you next week.